Everybody, welcome to the August 22nd edition of the In and Out Show. This is your host, Slip Mode, along with...
VR, ready to bore everybody into submission.
Yes. All right. How you doing, VR?
I'm a little feisty tonight.
A little feisty?
Yeah.
Good. We've got feisty things to talk about. All right. Well, it seems like... Well, this is the title of the article. Hackers take aim at the GOP.
Ooh.
Yeah, I don't know, depending on your definition of hacker, I don't know if that's what you're going to agree with or not with what's going on with this bit of news here. But basically, there's been a few groups out there that said that they will be doing online protests targeting GOP websites. And, yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
Right on. It's time we get some technical grassroots activism.
Yeah.
Against the powers that be, against the against the bourgeois. Go proletariat.
Okay, basically, they said, we want to bombard the Republican sites with so much traffic that nobody can get in, said Crime Inc., a member of the so-called Black Hat Blocker, or Black Hatters Block. It's one of the several groups planning to distribute software tools to reload Republican sites over and over again. But some of the activists are condemning the planned attacks, saying that they violate the principles of free speech that the protesters rely on for their demonstrations. The Black Hat Hatters Block is hoping to cause a whole lot more trouble. When the Republicans start to gather in New York, the group will be targeting not only the GOP computers, but email, faxes, and phones too, Crime Inc. said, as well as unspecified financial disruption.
Unspecified financial disruption.
Oh, yeah. It's unspecified right there.
Wow.
Says it.
I think, yeah, that's a really interesting little threat there.
Yeah. The attacks during the Republican convention may be just beginning, however. At the Hackers on Planet Earth gathering in New York City, one speaker promised attendees, you will learn how to infiltrate organizers like the RNC, how to look for and find security holes, and how mischief and mayhem is achieved.
Wow. Doesn't that have a little bit of room? Inkling to Project Mayhem?
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I don't know. Like, to me, I think that... Well, first of all, it seems like these guys are looking for a little bit of press.
Yeah, I really think so.
I mean...
Because if you really think about it...
Why would you say who the hell you are?
Right, but also the same thing, is they're really going after, like, the communication hub of the Republican Party or the Grand Old Party. And, like, they haven't communicated to each other in the last 50 years, so really what good is that going to do in a matter of a couple of weeks?
Yeah, all I know is it will bolster the idea for terrorism. And
it'll actually.
And who's better at covering terrorism? Not Kerry. So,
well, that's the other thing, is it's going to just become a backlash upon the rest of the hacker communities, that they're going to be under more heat.
Yeah, yeah. Honestly, I think
give more
terrorism name to those types of things.
Well, and it'll bring back more support for, you know, like the Patriot Act and other things of that nature.
Yeah. So I honestly don't support it. What's the point? I mean, they're going to get on the news and say what they want to say regardless.
Oh, yeah. Well,
what do you do?
Because Bush has, you know, the most amount of money ever raised for a presidential campaign. Ooh, so he doesn't have a website up. He can actually slam the entire country in a media blitz that has been unprecedented in the history of the world.
Yeah, well, you'd have to beat Microsoft's putting of the little butterfly pictures all over New York's concrete and walls. And just joking. I just wanted to bring up some of Microsoft's
that's pretty funny.
Running of the mills of advertisement campaigns. Yeah, so I don't know. I'm not really for it. I don't really think it's that cool. I don't know, man. Like, if people are wrong, they're just wrong. You don't have to deny or service them.
Yeah.
And other things like that.
Well, especially if they're wrong, let the people go to their website and realize that they're wrong.
Yeah, on their own.
Unless you're that afraid that they're actually right and you want somebody else to be right that is actually wrong.
Yeah, and the method employed is, I don't agree with whatsoever. You know, at DevCon...
So this thing is not sponsored by the In The Now show.
No, In The Now is not sponsoring this whatsoever. But it does support imports versus domestics on September 11th.
Oh, yes, that it does.
Oh, man. Okay, well, me and VR are talking about car shows down here. But anyways, you know, on top of that, actually at DEF CON, there was a speaker that was there that got quite a few people mad at him, talking about, I told you about this, told everyone about the Republicans and what they're doing and some of the security and, you know, just all sorts of stuff at the Republican convention.
Oh, well, he was telling everybody all their security exploits.
Yeah. Okay. Well, yeah, some of them. And you know, giving out a lot of information. And then right afterwards, you know, Priest got up and said, hey, we don't condone any of this crap. You know, gave the DEF CON disclaimer verbally and all sorts of stuff. So. And that guy was actually held for like a few hours in like an area for security by the DEF CON staff. So like there wouldn't be something going on at the con.
Well, that would be a great precaution.
Yeah.
At least he was only held for a couple hours. Like if you go to the airport and scream bomb, you're done for 3 days.
Yeah. You know, a lot of people.
At least.
It's great to like believe in something, but don't go and like release your stress by like telling somebody how you're going to. You know, or some of these things that are going to seriously cause a problem for you, you know, and you're already frustrated to begin with, obviously, so don't let that frustration, like, turn into another problem that's going to impact you, you know, and...
Well, yeah, if you're a little insecure about it, and you have some facts that back up your insecurity, and you tell another person about that, and then they get a little freaked out, and they tell a couple other people about that, and it just becomes this whole snowball into this weird sort of, like, mini, you know... tsunami of insecurity waves that, you know, tidal waves the populace.
Yeah, and then you get stuck on a list, and all of a sudden you become, you know, 35 years old, and you turn into a Republican, and
you decide you want to run for office, and all of a sudden, wow.
You're screwed. So, I don't know. It's good to have your beliefs. It's good to express your beliefs. Just, you know, be a little intelligent about how you do that.
Yeah. Think before you rant. Sometimes.
Yeah, we don't here, but,
no,
but
we're not paid to do so.
So yeah, we're getting quite a few hits on the show downloads though lately.
Right on.
Yeah.
What are we up to, like 3.5?
Wow. 3.5. No, we're upwards around like 160.
Wow.
For the last show. Yep.
Yeah, we're moving on up.
Yep.
To the east side.
Moving on out. I'm not going to sing that song.
I almost got you too.
Yeah. Moving on out. Oh, man.
See, that's why that show was popular, because the theme song actually hits a little nerve in the human psyche that just, it's like coke in the brain.
Yeah, that little jingle just pulls you back.
Yeah.
Oh, man. You know, I know a guy here that looks just like Radar from MASH. Looks just like Radar from MASH, dude.
Wow, that's... I feel really kind of sad for the guy.
Yeah, I said, dude, you look just like Radar. He was not happy.
Oh, no.
Radar was awesome. All right.
Yeah, but he was, you know... Yeah.
He shipped a whole Jeep back to his place back in the States. Well, parts of it.
Yeah, but he had, like, the most power of that whole place.
Of course.
Because he was, you know... Yeah, he could do anything that he wanted.
And he forged, you know, a captain's signature all the time. And
oh, yeah.
And Captain didn't care.
No. Because he got his, you know, his horse medication.
Wow. All right, moving right along. Actually, there's just some... It's an article that has some questions that Linus Torvalds was asked, the founder of the Linux kernel. And I thought I'd read off two of the questions here. Just kind of to show the state of Linus's mind on things. What are the biggest challenges facing Linux? And Linus's answer is, from a technical standpoint, I don't see any real challenges. Linux has come a long way in the last 13 years. I'll do it another 13 years if that's what it takes. Technology-wise, we're great, and we'll get better. The only things I worry about are all the things that go around the project. Part of it is the legal issues. It's not that I think Linux has legal problems, but that the system doesn't work as well as it should, and crazy things happen, like SCO suits. Breaching SCO suits claims IBM breaching a long-time contract by providing SCO-owned technology to Linux developers and has filed a lawsuit claiming $5 billion in damages. The trial isn't expected to start until November of 2005. They will get slapped down in court, is what Linus says. But as Linux gets really important, strange things come up. Software patents concern me. I worry about some greedy companies, possible failing ones, trying to make trouble and abusing the system. Software patents in particular are very ripe for abuse. The whole system encourages big corporations getting thousands and thousands of patents. Individuals almost never get them.
Well, yeah, we just had a little thing, was it the other show that...
Oh, yeah, we talked about all this, Skull
yeah.
and patents. And we have random people in random countries working on random things, and they don't have 1,000 patent lawyers, so I'm worried about one. I'm not worried about one in particular, but the whole system... It's not a problem today, but it's a thing I can't control, unlike the technical side where I can actually do something. The question is, what makes you believe Linux will continue to gain momentum? I think fundamentally open source does tend to be more stable software. It's the right way to do things. I compare it to, and I like how he says this, and I never really thought of it this way. I compare it to science versus witchcraft. In science, the whole system builds on people looking on other people's results and building on top of them. In witchcraft, somebody had a small secret and guarded it, but never allows others to really understand it and build on it.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Traditional software is like witchcraft. In history, witchcraft just died out. The same will happen in software. When problems get serious enough, you can't have one person or one company guarding their secrets. You have to have everybody share in knowledge.
Yeah.
So that's a very good point.
It's true. It's what works better, like one single ant or a whole ant colony. Yeah, the whole ant colony functions a whole lot better. Because they're all doing their own little thing, but they all do it in one kind of, in one way.
Fashion?
Yeah.
You know, you ever been down to like Fry's Electronics VR and you see like repackaged items, markdown discounts?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Somebody got it, opened it up, whatever it was. Something was wrong with it. They didn't know what they were doing with it in the first place. Brought it back, said, oh, hell. And then, you know, somebody, they put it back out on the shelf and they mark it and say, discount it, $5 off it or whatever, right?
Right. Because there's really nothing wrong with it.
Yeah, well, sometimes, yeah.
Especially if it's software, it's usually pretty good.
Yeah, somebody, a lot of the hardware, they didn't know what the hell they're doing, and they hooked it up, and I don't know, you know, and, okay, well. But, you know, I've actually gone on the Fry's, and I've seen, like, you know, you look at a graphics card or some card or something like that, and I've seen this a few times where every freaking box... was one put back on the shelf. And I was like, I'm not buying this product.
No.
But basically, this is about Best Buy, actually. It's being sued for ripping off customers.
Ooh.
Giant U.S. electronics retailer Best Buy has been sued by the state of Ohio over alleged unfair and deceptive business practices. Ohio's legal offices are acting on complaints that the electronics chain sold used products as new. The retail giant also alleged failed to honor rebates, exchange programs, or extended service contracts on numerous occasions. In a statement issued yesterday, which is back in early August, Ohio said that it initiated legal action over receiving hundreds of consumer complaints over the last few years. The sheer number of complaints coupled with the types of alleged allegations my office received prompted us to file this lawsuit, said Ohio Attorney General Jim Petro, which obviously is probably going to make him some money.
Oh, yeah.
The primary, I mean, of course.
Well, it's going to help his prestige anyway.
Yeah.
Get up the political ladder.
The primary objective of this lawsuit is to bring Best Buy into conformity with Ohio's consumer protection laws and ensure that Best Buy's Ohio customers receive the service they deserve. In the complaint, Petro asks that the court order Best Buy to comply with Ohio's consumer protection laws, reimburse customers or lose money and pay a civil penalty of $25,000 for each violation. That's a lot of video graphics cards.
Yeah.
Ohio's Consumer Sales Practice Act, Best Buy, which operates approximately 750 stores in the U.S. and Canada, said it was aware of the suit but declined to discuss pending litigation.
Yeah, that's... Well, isn't... I think Best Buy was, you know, one of their last commercial... that I saw of them, I will never go into one again, because they had this thing where they're like, "We'll treat you how you're, you know, how you like want to be treated," or something like that. And they had this dog.
What?
Yeah, it was the most insulting commercial I've ever seen.
Oh my god!
It was essentially, if you buy there, you're a dog. That's what they were. You know, that's how I took that.
You know what? You know what pisses me off?
that?
Is companies that offer new people, new subscribers or whatever to their service,
oh, yeah,
a discount, and your ass has been with them for 4 years.
Yep.
You know? Like, I've been with, I don't even want to say their name. I've been with a cell phone service for, since like 98. Okay? Call me crazy. And I just changed my plan, and they're like, oh, you know, you're going to have to sign up for a contract. And I was like, no, I'm not going to do that. Like, okay, let me find out if you have to do that or not. No, you don't have to do that. Okay. Well, your plan, but what I did find out, sir, is that this plan is actually $5 more than the posted plan on the website. I said, why is that? Well, those are for new customers. I said, what, you don't care about me? And he goes, well, sir, you know, I don't make the rules. Da, 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 da. You know, that is just ridiculous. You know, they even have, they have that for, like, my dad was complaining at Eckerd's in like, you know, where he's off at. And they had some sort of thing where, like, you know, new customers got help right away, you know.
Oh, yeah. Well, a lot of places do that.
Yeah. And you come there all the time.
That's your customer service bait and switch, which is kind of fun. That's really hard to prove.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
now,
well,
my cell phone service provider, like, if I were a new customer right now, I'd save $35 on the exact same plan. Well, actually, and on a better plan.
Yeah.
But because I've been with them, like, for 4 years. Nope.
Yeah, forget you.
Yeah, you're done.
You've already lined our pockets. So?
You've made us big. Thank you. By, you know, getting, you know, carnaled.
Yeah, dude, that's ridiculous. And actually, my dad ended up, he complained. He wrote a letter. And he got a call back from the president of that district.
Right on. Did they give in?
Yeah, they took the sign down that said that policy.
Ooh, I'm going to have to try that.
Yeah.
I'm going on a letter writing campaign.
Oh, yeah, dude. It's always fun to do that. It's always fun to see if
Yeah,
you can...
I haven't done one of those in years. That's great.
Yeah.
That'd get me back in the swing of things.
Yeah. You can forget the Viagra. Just do that.
Yeah.
I'm just joking.
That's what it's all about, dude. It's all about power.
Or Propecia. What the hell, man? It's like, oh, God. I don't even want to talk about that crap.
Wait, what is the Propecia? Is the woman's one, right?
I don't know. I really don't know. All I know is I'm seeing it more on television, and these guys are like, they have like some attractive woman. She's like, hey, you know, enjoy. Well, my man, enjoy. Just, it's just so freaking stupid. Like, give me a break.
Which really says something about our culture.
Oh, yeah. And that's the sickening thing, is I don't want to even acknowledge it exists. Even though it exists, I try to, like, steer far away from it as possible, because if I acknowledge it exists, then it exists, you know?
It's our culture. It's like, you buy in, you sell out, you get in this job that you really hate because it pays the bills, you get a wife, you have a couple of kids, you live in suburbia, you do nothing else but work and stay home and do yard work.
Yeah, and if you're a rebel, you get a DUI.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that actually says that you still have a little life left.
Yeah.
In you.
Yeah. Oh, man, you got that DUI, huh? Oh, man. Driving the old station wagon, huh? Yeah.
It's like, you know, we have, you know, there's hundreds and thousands of track homes out there that are full of these walking dead people that are just space filling.
Yeah. They're really nice homes.
Yeah.
But yeah.
It's just amazing. It's like, I really want to, like, you know, buy in and sell out, and then, you know, I'd have to take a drug to, you know, to get my manhood out. Yeah. Wow.
You can see VR's face right now. He's ecstatic with excitement.
That's what it's all about, is being a human being right there. So I can take a pill, get my manhood up, because I've sold my soul.
Yeah. Yeah, it's
I even found myself the other day contemplating, you know what, the soul is like your appendix. It only bothers you when, you know, it only matters when it bothers you.
Oh, jeez.
It's like, oh, there's that pain there. Is that my appendix, or is that my soul acted up?
Yeah.
I'm really not sure. Well,
I just ordered a big thing of Viagra. And I bought myself a Corvette and flushed out the kids' college funds just to
Woo!
Be a man. Oh, man.
Sorry, Johnny. You're not going to Princeton. You're going to community college.
Yeah. But if I feel bad about it, I'll sell the car and we'll up you to just the normal university.
Because Daddy needs a new redhead.
I don't know what this show is about. I don't know what this show is about anymore.
I said I was feeling honored.
And you dragged me into it. Oh, great. Well, I hope everyone got a laugh out of that.
And I think that that's the new bumper sticker is Daddy Needs a New Redhead.
Oh, jeez. All right. All right, getting serious again. What users want in an Internet Explorer upgrade? Because Microsoft said they stopped. That's it. 6.0, that was it. No more coming out.
So they actually realized that they failed and they're quit like promoting a completely fallible product.
Yeah, they want to do a new browser because, well, people are just installing Mozilla, Firefox, and different...
I just did that the other day. That's the best thing I've ever used for a web browser.
Yeah, it runs really well. And
except that I was trying to get on this meeting, a meeting site, and I had to use either Netscape or Explorer, and I was really ticked off.
Yeah, that upsets me that there's sites that are not fully transitional websites that are compatible with all browsers. So some of the features, they have, let's see, Microsoft does have... I mean, Longhorn is supposed to have a new version of Internet Explorer, but I think that they're looking to pump out another version of Internet Explorer here to keep some dominance. They do have a blog, an Internet Explorer blog, but I don't have a link to it. You can probably surf Microsoft's site if you're so inclined to, and check it out. There are some problems here. The article does mention that IE does not fully support CSS. And it also has a problem with, it does not have full support for PNG, which is a graphic standard.
What's the CSS?
CSS is a, it's like a template styling. So your website has like a template, and all the, table head, this different areas of the website follow this template. So if you want to change the website immediately, you can just automatically just change little things on the template. And it reflects all across the website.
You know where the word template came from?
No.
Tin plate.
That's right, because pushing it down and making a plate out of tin.
Yeah, that's like forming a jig.
You know what I figured out? Well, here, let me finish this up. So, yeah, they're looking for new ideas. They're thinking of putting in their own little pop-up blocker, kind of things like that, or an automatic RSS reader, which... for you that don't know out there, RSS is a ways of reading news feeds off of like websites and stuff like that, which is what we do on slipnet.org. Is if you go to the news section and you hit news, I've got a PHP script in there for both /dot and I think it's SourceForge or NewsForge, one of the two, and it pulls up the headlines that they have on their page.
Right on.
So, what was I going to say? What did you just say? And then I was going to think of something.
Tinplate.
Oh, you know what I was thinking? This is the word that I think will be phased out. I'm not sure if in my generation or whatever, but I don't think new generations will understand what tuning in means.
That's very true.
Yeah.
Well, like actually, it's pretty much almost a meaningless word already.
Yeah, where it comes from. Like, you got to tune in, buddy. And they'll say that, they'll propagate the word tuning in. I got to stay tuned in. But you're going to ask, do you know where that comes from? And they're not going to know.
No clue.
And that's interesting because I thought about that and I was like, look, that's probably something that I'll recognize. Because
album is your, vinyl's gone. Album is pretty close as being more directed towards CD that I hear anyway.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's a lot of that, the old technology terminology that's going to go.
Yeah. So.
Oh, but except that they're still, like, ham radio people, and that's...
Well, yeah, I mean, those people are going to understand that. And,
That's going to become a subculture word and not, the general culture.
Yeah. Okay. Well, this is a large article, and I just want to read it because we talk about some science articles here on In the Now. But basically, the first, it's talking about a scramjet that actually NASA just had take off. You want to look at it? Because I'm going to read it.
Okay.
And they describe a lot of technology in here. It's It's quite a few pages, but here, let me just read off the main portion of it here. The supersonic combustion ramjet, and the whole thing about the scramjets and ramjets is that, which a scramjet can be a ramjet and vice versa, and they can change into that being a scramjet and ramjet in mid-flight. The thing about scramjets and ramjets is that they are thought of as the new propulsion technology because they have no moving parts and they don't have a typical bottlenecks in the system like a jet does, where it sucks in the air, something has to occur to the air, and then it gets pushed out the back. And while that's occurring and what's going on in there is considered a possible, it is a bottleneck in some senses.
Well, it's a high pressure area in the system.
Yeah. The supersonic combustion ramjet, or scramjet, uses no rotating parts, will power vehicles hundreds of miles in minutes, and will make rapid global travel and affordable access to space a reality. These goals drew closer to achievement this spring when the first scramjet-powered aircraft flew on its own. On the afternoon of March 27th, an unpiloted X-43A, a National Aeronautics and Space Administration NASA, craft mounted on a Pegasus booster rocket, dropped from a B-52 flying at 40,000 feet off the coast of California. The rocket sent the experimental aircraft soaring to its test altitude of 95,000 feet, where the X-43A separated from its booster and its scramjet engine fired for a planned 10-second test, achieving an incredible Mach 7 or 5,000 miles per hour.
Wow.
And they're also, because I read through the entire article, they said that in the future, they think that they can achieve Mach 25.
You know what that G-forces on that will be?
Notice it's an unmanned.
Yeah.
You know?
That's called your, all your blood would be in your spine.
Yeah, I'm wondering, just cutting through the air like that, that friction, does that, set the air on fire,
Just about. Well, the friction against the hull would actually become, glowing hot. Because that's the same kind of speeds as coming through that the space shuttle re-enters at. And they have to have, their special carbon composites that they, are the tiles
dissipate
that are...
Dissipate the heat.
But actually, it can take the heat without disintegrating. it's an RSCS. It's I forget what the acronym is.
This studies on the scramjet-ramjet technology started back theoretically back in the not theoretically back in the 1940s. The theoretical studies started back in the 1940s.
Yeah, I've heard of them. I'm not familiar of how exactly they work, but just amazed that there's no moving parts in them. It's just the closest thing I can kind of get to just immediately is the old buzz bombs, but that actually had moving parts.
Yeah. Let's see. Yeah, this is some of the things that they're talking about. The whole article is a good read, but some of the things they're talking about...
Where can we find it?
Where can you find it? Good question. You know what? If you go look at the show notes when the show is posted, you can click on it. I'll put the web link in the show notes.
Good job.
So you can go there and take a gander on it. It's a science website. I'll put it up there later. Yeah, and yeah, some of the things that they're looking at that are problems with the vehicles are very high temperatures, heating of the whole system, steady state and transient localized heating from shock waves, high aerodynamic loads,
yeah.
High fluctuating pressure loads.
Yeah, those are all... Then they didn't even really... Oh, I guess harmonic... Well, then there's also harmonic structural loads that are in there that are just amazing.
Yeah.
But also what's interesting is how are they... Because I think one of them actually, they're going to have to get up to speed for them to work. So I'm not sure how they're getting over that problem immediately. But anyway.
Yeah. You know, it's just... Because
if they actually have to have airflow through them, I think, initially to work.
What's the other motor type that they're working on? The ion motor that shoots out these ion particles? I forget what it's called, but they have a working motor of it. Man.
For space flight or air flight?
Air flight, space flight, either flight.
Oh, I have...
I forget what it's called, but...
That's kind of nifty, too, but that's kind of scary. Pumping out ions? Ooh. They talk about, you know, like sun cancer rates going up. Ooh.
Yeah.
Like, oh, yeah, all these contrails? Yeah, they really are deadly. And you know there's a whole, actually, like, underground group that... they calls them chemtrails and thinks that, you know, the condensation trail that's left by, you know, jet aircraft is actually chemical mind control that is being put into the, you know, into the air to subdue us and make us controllable. You can actually, I think their website is still around. I haven't seen it in years, but it's like chemtrails.com.
Pierre, go get me a drink. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, I don't know. I you know, I can't say either way what the truth is. I honestly believe they're not.
Yeah.
Maybe some days they are.
Yeah, maybe.
You know, they just do it every once in a while in certain areas.
But I just think that's just, the, you know, who the heck came up with that? How much were they smoking? Or drinking, or what?
Oh, man, they make me feel bad. My dad's on that group. No, I'm just joking. No, it's not. But yeah. Wow. Okay. Well, here's something. You'll really appreciate this article.
Right on.
Yeah. And it's very interesting. Sounds like a movie should be made after it. Antarctic craters reveal asteroid strike.
Right on.
Okay. Scientists using satellites have mapped huge craters under the Antarctic ice sheet caused by an asteroid as big as one to believe to have wiped out the dinosaurs 65 million years ago.
Wow, so there's, well, of course, because, well, actually, now, there's so many of those that it's probably pretty sure that that's what did it, because there's, like, you know, one up in
Mexico, right?
Well, there's one, yeah, one down in Brazil, which is almost the size of the country. There's another one up by Alaska in Canada, and then there's one on the East Coast, and then there's a couple in Asia that are just, you know, huge.
Professor Franz van der Hooven.
Van der Hooven.
Van der Hooven from Delphi University in the Netherlands told the conference that the evidence showed that an asteroid measuring about between 3 and 7 miles across had broken up in the atmosphere and 5 large pieces had hit the Earth, creating multiple craters over an area measuring 1,300 by 2,400 miles. The effect would have been to melt the ice in the path of the pieces as well as the crust underneath. The biggest single strike caused a hole in the ice sheet roughly 200 by 200 miles, which would have melted about 1% of the ice sheet, raising water levels worldwide by 2 feet.
Wow.
It does say that the climate conditions were different at the time of the strike, about 7,800 years ago.
Well, it was warmer anyway, so...
I mean, 7,800 years ago, sorry. From when the asteroid was believed to have wiped out the dinosaurs struck in Yucatan, Mexico.
That had been like 78 million years ago. Not thousand.
This is 780,000.
Million.
Well, that's what this says.
Yeah, they lost a million there. Because that would have wiped out our ancestors, and we would have never came back.
But it's not until this year when 2 satellites operating the Antarctica began to map the anomalies in the gravity that the scale of the crater emerged. The mapping showed that the holes in the rock created by the strike had refilled with a mixture of ice, rock, and other debris far less dense. This material, called breccia, shows where and how deep the craters are.
Right on. Were they using, I want to say, like, sonar? No, it's, like, yeah, sound waves to map it, or, like, radio? How were they mapping it again?
You know, I think it's right here. No. No, I don't have it in here that tells me exactly how they map it.
Oh, that's probably sound waves. That makes the most sense.
Well, they said they use satellites.
Yeah, that's what kind of tipped me off to thinking about it a little differently. But, well, there might be some new stuff that I don't know about, which is a good possibility.
All right. Now,
Yeah, so if the, well, also the time of the dinosaurs, the temperature was hotter, so there would be more water. So if you raise it up another foot too, why you block out the sun? Yeah, that's pretty devastating.
I just wish I had a time machine.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be so great?
Oh, yeah.
Like, I would just, like, forget society as a whole and just be traveling my time machine constantly.
Oh, yeah. It'd be great. You know, especially you could be, you know, come to, you know, in your own lifetime, you could be the smartest man in the world and the dumbest one, too.
Yeah.
You really think about that. Like, you can go far enough in the future, you have no idea what is what, and you're like an infant again. Or you go back to, you know, the time of the Neanderthal, and you're the brightest man on the face of the planet.
Yeah, then they kill you, because you take all their women.
Well, yeah. And they think you're a witch.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, dude. Yeah. You break out that Mach 3 razor, and you're getting all cleaned up, and they're like, oh, that guy's evil man.
Yeah.
It's a Mach 3!
High tech.
Oh, man. All right, well, this is some information about the digital security that the Olympics is having.
Ooh.
All $312 million of it.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
That better be one heck of a system.
Yeah. Its budget is up than... Excuse me, budget more than... Yep. Sorry. Reading here. Okay. It gathers... here's some of the things it does. It gathers images and audio from an electronic web of over 1,000 high-resolution and infrared cameras, 12 patrol boats, 4,000 vehicles, 9 helicopters, a sensor-laden blimp, and 4 mobile command centers.
Wow. So if you're something big, they'll find you.
Yeah. Let's see here. Spoken words collected by the cameras with speech recognition software are transcribed into text that is then searched for patterns along with other electronic communications entering and leaving the area, including email and image files.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you read lips.
And then compare it to electronic data sniffed out of the air.
Wow.
The system, which includes components already used by the U.S. and British government intelligence agencies, covers all of Greater Athens' 9 ports, airports, and other Olympic sites. Ikonomu said it is, and I think they're a company, that's back in the ad there, said that it allows users to manage a critical incident in the best way possible and in the shortest time possible because they all have the information in front of them. The software used in surveillance camera recordings is designed to spot and rank possible risks, said diagnosis. Or Dynoses Dendrinos, general manager of something.
Yeah, whatever their company is.
Yeah, forget that. Also there's a network of sensors designed to detect chemical agents that has also been deployed near Olympic venues and around the capital, including on the security blimp.
Right on.
It's also used, this technology is also used. And the creation of the Olympic credentials, the technology they have out there, which use some security features as holograms, all cardholder information such as a person's photo and passport number, are printed on very thin film designed to make the cards impossible to forge.
Right on. Oh, especially in probably the short amount of time that they have to forge them.
Yeah, that's crazy. Why doesn't people take that level of security in other areas?
Well, that's a scary amount of security.
Well, yeah. Yeah, I mean, why don't the... I don't know. I'm just wondering, like, how does that amount of security be put in place? It's okayed, and they don't have a problem to budget for the whole thing. You know, like, why don't they do that for a lot of things?
Yeah.
I guess if you did something like that, it's a major political thing, and as far as...
Well, yeah.
It could really change the fluctuation of how things happen in the world.
Well, if there's an incident, you know, of any kind of import at the Olympics, the massive repercussions would be pretty phenomenal.
Yeah, and a lot of those countries that may not be so excited about the United States War on Terrorism or things like that might have to it'd be a lot harder for them to argue.
Which is kind of funny because this is like the first Summer Olympics in 50 years that hasn't been a boycott at. Of like some country boycotting going to the Olympics because some other country's there.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Hmm.
This is actually like the most attended Olympics ever, I think. Or it's pretty close to it.
That's pretty interesting.
Because I was at the Winter Olympics in Salt Lake a couple years ago. And let me tell you, the best way to see the Olympics is on your couch.
It's on your couch.
Because, you get all the boring stuff cut out for you. You get to sit, you don't have to sit in the sun or the snow. And you don't have to worry about all these security measures.
Yeah, that's pretty interesting technology to read what people are saying and try to cross-check that with radio and data.
Yeah, that's amazing. Like, you could, if, the police had that for that kind of incidents or the Secret Service had that, the miscommunications that occurred on September 11th would not have happened because everybody would have been on the same page at the same time.
Well, that, I think, is document sharing and stuff like that amongst the two, not but, software recognition, all that stuff.
But at the same time, that would incur that everybody knows what's going on at the same time.
Yeah, they're making great strides, I guess you could say, to sharing information. I never understood why. Maybe it's because, I don't do it on a daily basis or even on a basis at all. Why they wouldn't share information?
Yeah, I don't know either. But I'm still in awe about the cameras that can read lips. Because I remember, it was a big deal when they got the first camera to actually, to be able to recognize an image.
Yeah. I was...
And when motion sensors were just, that was science fiction come to life.
Yeah. All right. Well, ISPs gang up on spammers that run websites, or spammer-run websites. UK ISPs are targeting e-commerce websites run by spammers into a new Get Tough policy on junk mail. ISPs belonging to the London Internet Exchange, Lynx, have voted through a code of practice which gives them the mandate to shut down websites promoting through spam. Even if junk mail messages are sent through a third party or over a different network, the move is intended to remove the financial incentive to send spam. Lynx is also calling on ISPs to take down websites used to sell spam tools, such as CD-ROMs containing millions of illegally collected email addresses. The code of practice changes were voted through an extraordinary general meeting of Lynx, which handles more than 90% of the UK's internet traffic.
Wow.
So there's the people taking their initiative to get rid of crap.
Well, yeah, that's the business community going, we're going to take out the economic incentive for spam. Well, guess what? They're not going to have much spam.
Yeah, so I think it's a good thing that they're doing.
Yeah, I think we should follow suit.
Now, there are some people that might say, you can't do that to us because it's being prejudiced or whatnot, but I don't know. If we took a vote, I think we'd make that so it's okay.
Laissez-faire is a thing of the past. Business is so highly regulated now, it's really hard to tell, the difference between, or even see the similarities between business 120 years ago to today. It almost seems like a completely different entity.
Yeah, a lot more intertangling of powers and communication and... jurisdiction.
And responsibility.
And responsibility, yep. And moving right along in the news here. There is the Wiretap Act, and basically there's all sorts of stuff that are added in that makes it very bad for people trying to stay private.
Oh, joy.
As if hacking worries weren't enough, two recent developments have raised further fears among web privacy advocates in the United States. In one case, the Federal Communications Commission voted 5-0 last week, which is early August, to prohibit businesses from offering broadband and internet phone service unless they provide Uncle Sam with backdoors for wiretapping access. And in a separate decision last month, a federal appeals court decided that email and other electronic communications are not protected under the strict reading of wiretap laws. Taken over, these decisions may make it both legally and technologically easier to wiretap internet communications, some legal experts told Newsweek. All the trends are pointing towards making it easier to tap, says Kevin Bankston, an attorney at the nonprofit Electronic Frontier Foundation. The FCC plans to require internet-based phone and broadband services to be engineered for easy wiretapping. Is a response to a request from FBI and other law enforcement agencies. Proposal would bring internet-based phone providers in line with Communications Assistance for Law Enforcement Act, CALEA, which we've talked about on previous shows, which requires telecommunications carriers to make their networks wiretap-friendly. The FCC says the government must still go through all the necessary legal steps to obtain the authority to wiretap. CALEA simply makes it technologically easier to do so. This will not have an effect on whether it is appropriate or lawful authority, whether there is appropriate lawful authority that remains the same, says FCC spokesman Julius Knapp. All this really is addressing is whether the carrier is required to have the capability to provide the information that is covered by a court order.
So they could do actually a really cruddy job of, you know, of securing that ability to wiretap and make it really easy to hack and break in.
Well, yeah, like the the power of making it easier for someone else to monitor, like the authorities or whatever, also would make it easier for somebody else to monitor that may not be an authority. And also, like,
especially if there's no regulation on how they make it, you know, engineer it into make it wiretap friendly.
Yeah. Yeah. Jaya Valu gave a presentation back, it was DEF CON 11, and she's talking about all these different products that were out there. Well, one product in particular, but talking about how companies and government entities and stuff like that were merging. Are converging more on the idea of making things a lot easier to tap on. She was even talking about Cisco, building things into their iOS to make it a lot easier for there to be tracking and monitoring of the traffic that goes over their devices, typically their Cisco routers. And, it's just something that, people have always worried about the whole phone system being tapped back in the day, and if you said certain words, you're being tape recorded and stuff like that, and I'm sure those things existed, still exist. And also, these are just new mediums of communication that people are using, and people are going to want to monitor that. There's a lot of things out there that travel on the Internet, lots of messages, lots of even coded messages, things that are watermarked, hidden messages inside pictures or text or, you know, all sorts of stuff. And to me, those things are ultimately really hard to track. Those things aren't something that a simple wiretap would be able to cover. So, people are just going to use more covert ways of communicating.
It's just going to push the technology of communication.
Yeah, yeah, insanely.
Well, of covert communication.
Yeah. So just like there was always covert communication before all this technology existed.
Yeah, like my favorite so far is the way to ping each other, and it creates a foyer system which actually, contains a picture which could contain information, that's my favorite method so far.
Yeah, the Echo Art program.
Yeah, there you go.
Sending pings across the network and producing an ASCII output on the other end, they said, hey, just for fun, do an ASCII image, ASCII art, but it could be anything.
Yeah, it really could.
It could be ASCII art. It could be something inside there. It's a code. And
could be plans for the nuclear power plant.
Yeah. So. All right. And also, this is something I noticed, was that there is a website out there called unwireiraq.com. And what they want to do is to give blanket areas of Wi-Fi, decent Wi-Fi connection for U.S. soldiers to be able to communicate back home.
Okay.
Their general plan is a bidirectional dish for satellite internet service 802.11 access points provide coverage over our compound, internet protocol phones, Linux, and the Squid, which is a proxy server. Once the plan was done, all that is needed was the money for the bandwidth and the equipment. That's where Ernie's House of Whoopass comes into the story. Ernie organized a fundraiser over the 4th of July, and more than $8,000 was raised, Geiger said, which is one of the people reporting in this article. I think he actually worked with UnwireIraq.com. This allows us to buy the satellite dish, receive hardware, pay for 3 months of 1,024 down, 256 up service, and buy a few wireless access points and network cards. And that's also about the time that John Herring started getting involved. John told me I was browsing the internet really late one night, going through some Wi-Fi message boards, actually, and I came across a soldier by the name of Phil Geiger in Afghanistan. Okay, so he's one of the soldiers that wants to make this happen, who basically was looking for some advice from Wi-Fi guys on what kind of equipment the guys in Afghanistan could use to try and connect to the internet. They were trying to figure out a way that they would hopefully allow them to be able to talk to their loved ones. One thing led to another, and Herring's daily wireless site set up a new something called, that's a article error, Unwired Iraq to raise additional funding and hardware. Geiger noted Herring's support, noted saying that through his efforts, Tropos Networks has offered to donate some of their high-end 5110 outdoor access points. The Tropos donations should put the 3-6 machine Marines over the top. Sorry. And it's expected that they will have a live Wi-Fi network going in the near future. If you two would like to help the 3-6 Marines stay Semper Wi-Fi and help other units, go to unwireiraq.com.
Cool. Sounds like a good thing, especially those internet phones.
Yeah. Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah, they'll save a whole lot of money.
Yeah, some of those phones, though, if you get the full HTTP browser, the WAP phones, they allow you to pull up some things. I don't know. I mean, if you do get internet phones, though, you can do, like, you know, messaging services back and forth. The only problem is you got to type on those little phones, and that can be a very slow process.
Arduous.
All right. Well, that wraps up the show, and we wanted to talk about a little bit about the idea that we might be on Rant Radio here pretty soon. The only thing is that me and VR and a few other people are working out the details of doing a weekly show and making sure that we can pull it off and pull it together, because a lot of us have very busy schedules. It's kind of why we do the two-week show now.
Yeah.
But we really would like to advance the listenership. We would do a live show if we go over to Rant Radio. And we're looking around. Well, I won't mention the times yet, but it's going to be in the evenings for sure. And
what I really want to ask is for, you know, if all the people who do download, you know, do listen to us on a somewhat regular basis, let us know if you would like to hear from us more.
Yeah, that's a good thing.
Go to the forum, you know, just log on and say, like, yes for a, you know, weekly show or no for a weekly show.
You know, I'm going to put a vote up there.
Yeah, great.
Okay.
Because out of our 160, you know, somewhat regular listeners don't care, I'm not going to put up the extra.
Well, I don't know, you know, because also reaching a newer audience, you know, because I know a few shows that have jumped over the Rant Radio and gotten extra exposure, and also doing a live show is kind of fun and exciting. People really get into that. And people also get into a weekly show, you know?
Yeah, but that's giving that better service to the new subscriber. But I'm all about who's already been with us.
Oh, okay.
So I'm wanting to hear from them. I want to give them the choice, them the opportunity.
Okay. Well, that would constitute you having to look at the forums, which you don't do.
No, because I don't have time to do that.
Okay, well, I'll put a vote up in there in the general area. No, in the now area is what I'll do it. And, yeah, we'll get some feedback on that, and we'll be working towards doing a weekly show, because yeah, it is a lot of effort out of our daily schedules, weekly schedule, monthly schedule, to do the show. But we all enjoy doing it, and if we can give more, and people are willing to accept it and embrace it, then we'll do our best to accommodate that. Okay, well, that wraps up the August 22nd edition In the Now show.
Yeah, sounds about right.
All right. Well, I guess we'll see everybody in 2 weeks. Check the forums, slipknot.org. I recently cleaned up the site a little bit.
Yeah, good job. So.
Yep, Tim, some of our buddies out there in other areas just put, Gamer Radio. You know, I want to give a shout-out to Gamer Radio. Go check out Gamer Radio. You can get the link to it off our website, slipknot.org. I'm an old-school gamer guy, and they do a pretty good show. So go over there, check them out. Check out White Sword TV. Doug TV just came out with their first episode. Very good episode. it's hilarious. You just have to watch it. And, of course, all the people out there, Default Radio, Binary Revolution Radio, Radio Freak America.
And Netscape Radio. Yeah.
Netscape Radio.
Sorry, I just had to give a shout out for somebody there.
All right. So, All right. Well, check out the forums. Check out the our links to our friends out there. And let us know if you want a weekly show. All right. We'll see everyone in 2 weeks.
Later.
Slip Mode signing out.